right, and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And yeah, I heard it through the grapevine. And Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Earl?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just want to ask you, are you going to be one of the first to purchase a Donald Trump Bible?
The Donald Trump Bible. Wow. Do we know what version of the Bible it is, or is this his own personal translation?
You haven't seen, I guess, or heard.
I know he has a new Bible, but I didn't know if he had taken one of the existing editions or whether this wrote is a traditional translation from the Donald.
So listen to this. In a video posted to True Social on Tuesday, Trump said he thinks it's important for every American to have a copy of the Bible in their home. "It's my favorite book," Trump said. "I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back and have to bring them back fast," Trump said. "I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We lost religion in our country." So, buy the $60 King James version of the Bible, which will include lyrics from Greenwood's "God Bless the USA," and a copy of the Constitution inside of the Bible. So, Dr. Craig, and you know what? And you know he's going to sell them, right? People are going to
love about selling things. And anything, the shoes, and that was going to get in the black vote, right?
Yeah,
the ugly $400 shoes. And now the King James version of the Bible, I guess the King Donald version of the Bible, because Donald prefers it in that kind of late middle, early modern English of the King James Bible. And I wonder, does he tell us what his favorite book of the Bible is?
No, I mean, I was reading earlier where Liz Cheney challenged him to, understanding thou shalt not commit adultery.
Which does he know that's what the Ten Commandments, number 9, actually?
Yeah.
And then the Constitution, which he is trying to shred. Yeah, it just shows how fallen a lot of evangelical religionists are in this country. They compromised on the divorcee, Ronald Reagan, who was not a churched or especially religious person at all. But now it's gone to the point where to impose our agenda, like the complete abortion ban, which we saw the bizarre oral arguments for the U.S. Supreme Court this week, it's unbelievable, and he's gaslighting his own audience, and they don't notice. They seem to like it.
He has these people in his hip pocket, right? He could come on tomorrow and say, "I'm going to sell a Donald Trump paperclip," and people will line up to buy the Donald Trump paperclip.
He'll probably only steal millions with the Bible. Apparently the copyrights run out. It's the cheapest version for him. But, the swindle around True Social, his own supporters are bidding up the price way in excess of its value. If he's able to sell from underneath all of them, guess what? He comes out with billions of dollars.
$3 billion, yeah.
And guess what? The stock tanks as fast as a cryptocurrency, and all of his supporters lose their money. It's a swindle.
I know. Well, again, they believe in him. Let's go to the phone lines at Karina. Hey, good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. So now we have a gospel from Donald.
The gospel according to Donald Trump. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Well, it's obvious man needs money. And the only community he didn't dip in real deep is the evangelical community. And my question is, what the rest of the religion are going to do? Are we not in this country? You know, because this country will. Do, I mean, it's like the thing he's saying with the Bible and the Constitution is against of the Bible and the Constitution of this country for people to believe and be free. So now everybody have to buy a Bible and be Christian.
Well, Karina, thank you very much for the call, Dr. Craig.
I mean, the issue is here that there's a new report out that says that by far the largest religion in this country is those who are unchurched and not religious. Right. It's a combination of people who have no particular faith and people who are atheists and people who are agnostic, who are a smaller group than that group. But by the way, all of the major religions, the large ones except for evangelical Christianity, are losing, hemorrhaging members, mainline Protestants, right, the Catholic Church. And as far as the evangelical Christians, they may not be hemorrhaging members, but they're a much smaller percentage of the population than they used to be. They're only 15%. They used to be 25% during the heyday of the Christian right and its role in the rise of right-wing republicanism. And Ann Nelson, I had her on our Battleground Wisconsin podcast that's going to be posted later this week at Citizen Action. She wrote Shadow Network. She's one of the top experts on the whole history of the right-wing conspiracy. Very good journalist and academic. She argues that they're trying to seize power when they still have enough people in order to impose their agenda, which you're seeing, for example, in this whole banning of abortion pills, right? By one crazy right-wing judge in Amarillo that has brought bizarre Supreme Court oral arguments. And so because they don't represent all of us, they don't believe in democracy. This is part of, and they're in coalition with others who don't, because right-wing billionaires don't think they can get what they want if we actually have democracy. And that's why there's a threat to democracy. It isn't because only we have one crazy orange-haired guy, right, who inherited a lot of money from his dad and is a great grifter. He's been on the grift his whole life. But that it's also because there's a mass audience for seizing power and holding it.
You know, Dr. Craig, we talked about this last week or week before last, but we have to talk about it because the elections are this coming Tuesday. And this is the referendum. I mean, not the referendum, but these are the questions that are on the ballot in Wisconsin. Question one, would restrict money from private donations, constitutional changes, that would restrict money from private donations. Republicans put these on the ballot in the state of Wisconsin. Question one, would restrict money from private donations that in the past has helped fund essential expenses incurred by local election officials that enable them to ensure that elections run smoothly and securely. These donations have nothing to do with supporting particular political candidates or influencing voters. They simply help close the gap between the money needed by the local election commissions and the funds provided by the legislature. Cutting off the source of funding would have a negative impact on making elections accessible and secure for all voters. All that gobbledygook, what does that mean to the average citizen, the average voter who's going in to vote and has to respond to that question? What is that really about?
Well, remember they used to call one of the basketball color commentators the czar of the telestrator.
Yeah.
If we were on NFL, right? I could chart this play. So let me chart the play, okay? The first play, it goes earlier than people think. We're only looking at the very end of the play when we talk about this, okay? The beginning of the play is we actually want to make it harder to vote so we can hold power. Okay, so hence we're going to underfund local government generally and including election administration. So now we have a situation where there are enough polling places, There aren't enough ways to vote, et cetera, right? And we can't even pay for the staff. And by the way, with 2020, a lot of election workers feel greatly threatened. So we got to chase away election workers. Then, since we have a gerrymandered legislature, which does not reflect a majority, that just is based on how we were able to draw the maps, we're going to put a convoluted constitutional amendment on the ballot that makes, and by the way, we're going to lie about that earlier, but it's all based on this idea that somehow this 501c3 charitable money that cities like Milwaukee and Green Bay took in order to bridge that gap was somehow some attempt to steal the election. No evidence that it was designed to affect one party or the other. It was simply to enable voting for anyone, including Trump supporters, right? Including Robin Voss supporters. And so we're going to lie about that. So it's a subset of the big lie. And then we're going to put on a convoluted constitutional amendment in hopes that we control the legislature next session so we can succeed in starving local governments for the resources to fund elections by both not funding them ourselves, because we still have the legislature, and making sure no one else who is civically minded can fund them. So that is the playbook.
And
we're going to confuse the heck out of voters with that convoluted language. And they probably went and focus grouped it and said, oh, most people say, okay, that sounds like it might be bad. I'll vote yes.
So they're clearly relying on people not understanding this. It's written in that manner. And so when you go and vote, one of the reasons why I think it's important to have Dr. Craig on is that he just simplified what that really means. So when you get ready to go vote, understand, those of you who are listening, and tell the friends of yours exactly which way to go when it comes to that vote. 844-967-2789 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig and Citizen Action on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Question number two, Dr. Craig, on the ballot. Question number two would provide that only elected officials designated by law may perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendums. These provisions already exist in statutes that have been in place for some time. Our legislature has not identified any specific need for this constitutional amendment. The lack of any rationale for this proposal raises suspicions about the real reason behind this effort. Will you simplify what that means, Dr. Craig? We're not attorneys, so we don't know.
Well, everyone's guessing as to what the motive is. It is in law now. So the constitutional provision doesn't change anything other than making it harder to ever change that law. Are they afraid that Democrats will gain control of the legislature and will change the law? Or is there some conspiracy out there with QAnon or some of their caucus where it's made up? Or is there some deeper motive because they have right-wing billionaire-funded legal experts who figure out what they want to do? It probably came from somewhere, and it probably has some nefarious purpose. The most benign might be just that it's need to appease some of their own people if they have a made up conspiracy about it. but it does seem to aid if you're going to be, if there's nothing in these amendments that ever makes the legislature adequately fund our elections. They can defund the elections. That's what they're doing. That's a way to think about this. And therefore, if you say that they can't take outside money and they can only use their own staff, it maybe it aids their long-term vision that people, it'll be very, very hard for people to vote.
You know, Dr. Craig, myself personally, I don't ever tell people which way to vote. That's unlike conservative talk, which tells people who they should vote for. I just think there's something wrong with that, but you know, that's for another show. But if I'm when I get ready to vote, because I vote on election day, I'm one of those traditionalists. And so when I go to vote and I look at those questions, which all of us do, when we look at that ballot, we're going to be totally confused. And that's the reason why they've done this. And people should understand that, right? I mean, that's the reason that that's there. That if they wanted you and me to understand what it was about, they would have written it in a manner that the average voter would understand it. Is it safe to say that?
Well, look, I mean, if you're against democracy, then you don't want voters to understand anything, right? Because right. If they understand things, they might know how to vote in their own interest. And you don't want that because you want to act against their interests and convince them otherwise. Again, it's the political version of the Trump grift. So if you want to vote for these amendments, I'd also suggest you buy a Trump Bible, that you buy some Truth Social stock right now that's badly overvalued, and that you buy, if you can get a hold of them, those gold, weird, silver, quarter-dollar shoes. And I don't know. People can call in with other Trump paraphernalia that folks should be considering. I don't think you can enroll in Trump University anymore and get scammed
or Trump stakes. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Well, let's see. How about, I think it was a coffee cup with his mugshot on it, something like that.
A T-shirt with his mugshot on it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The amendments are pretty clearly designed to fiddle around with our voting system and to try to make it as inaccessible as possible. That seems pretty clear. I've been watching this for, I don't know, probably 10, 12 years as my voting place, and I've been in the same address since 2004, and my voting place has changed at least three times, and I'm not quite sure why in that time. There's been no real explanation for it. But I think some of it has to do with the fact that polling places have and voting in general has had its funding either cut or held steady when everything else has increased in price. The second amendment is a little bit more concerning to me. I've been an observer for three out of the last four elections. I'll be out of town for this one. But I've been working with the women's group, League of Women Voters. And I've been one of their election observers, and that second amendment seems to me to be designed to be able to say, if you don't want somebody there and they're not officially on the voting staff, you could simply say, no, we're not going to let you in. And that's pretty nasty because, it could mean that, for instance, you could hire your lackeys to do the election work, and there could be some very interesting vote counts that way. Or you could at least claim that there are issues with the vote count. That amendment, I think, is very dangerous. These are, of course, presented as amendments because the governor would almost have certainly vetoed them if they'd been passed in the regular legislature. Of course, as pointed out, the second one has basically says the same thing, And constitutional amendments are extremely difficult to overturn. That's another issue. I can't remember. Since the state was formed in the 1840s, there have been something over 100 amendments, and something around half of those have been overturned as people have looked at them and seen what they, you know, what they do and said, this is not right. And it's very difficult to do that. That's the problem, and especially in today's political climate and in a purple state.
Hey, Jack, man, thank you for, you know, that information, and I wish we had more time. Dr. Craig, you know, we'll get give you a chance to respond on the other side, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Up next, news, weather, and sports. Moving in style. Join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. It's Wednesdays. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Go to the phone lines quickly. And Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I want to thank you for taking up that issue about those two referendum. I vote by mail, you know. And I know it's very important to vote. And I was so confused. I didn't know how to vote on it.
Right.
But I know.
You're not alone, Don. Don, you're not alone.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that you guys brought that up, you know, because I can't listen to your station all day long. I got to go to work, you
right.
know. So thank you very much, Earl.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Don. We appreciate it. So Dr. Craig, here's something I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to have to talk about it now, I think, just almost every week to remind people. You know, and this is in today's alternate. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, at a major rally in 2024 GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump, has made it clear that one of his goals as a Republican is to wipe out what's left of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal and President Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society. In 2016, Gingrich praised Trump's agenda as a great effort to break out of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's model and one of the New Deal programs of the 1930s that Gingrich has taken aim at is Social Security, which he would like to see privatized. Other Republicans who speak of reforming Social Security aren't necessarily calling for its privatization, but do favor raising retirement age, and some GOP strategists fear that being labeled anti-Social Security by Democrats could hurt their party in the November election. Dr. Craig, there clearly is a rumbling inside of the Republican Party that one of the ways to address the budget deficit is to take away these programs. And many Republicans, Dr. Craig, who are going to vote for, you know, Republicans and Donald Trump may not be aware of what's in their minds, right?
Let me speak to all voters of all parties on this. It's not clear yet that all Republicans would like to do away with Social Security and Medicare, for example. But it's been a consistent theme within thinkers, leading thinkers and leaders in the party, going back to the creation of it and the New Deal of Social Security and then Medicare during the Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. And it's very clear who Newt Gingrich has been. Remember, he led the first real right-wing takeover. It was the House of Representatives.
Right.
And he was just a common, everyday rank and file young congressman in Georgia when I was getting my master's at the University of Georgia. And he wrote a book, I think it was called The Opportunity Society. It has opportunity in it. I think that's the title. All of this kind of stuff's in there. And Donald Trump has said it and then pulled it back. But that's the grifter move. If you've gotten rid of the real check that keeps that from happening, because that's wildly unpopular with people of all parties,
right,
not just Democrats, is that we have a functioning democracy and there'd be punishment for any politicians that actually tried to execute that. And that's why the threat to democracy is a threat to a lot of things people take for granted. Remember when the Tea Party said, get governments out of my Medicare?
Right.
Understanding that, no, actually, you need government to have Medicare. Without a Democrat government, you wouldn't have that excellent health care coverage as a senior. And guess what? The insurance corporations that Republican politicians hang with and fund their campaigns wouldn't want to insure you because, guess what? You have more health conditions because you're older and therefore you're less profitable. And so currently, the insurance industry is looting Medicare through Medicare Part D. Mark Pocan in our state is a major leader trying to fix that. And so I think you have to be worried about all of this. I think that, look, PolitiFact did a ridiculous dancing on needles PolitiFact around Congressman Brian Stile from the 1st Congressional
right.
District. That's the Racine Kenosha Janesville District in Wisconsin, where he had said he wanted to get rid of Social Security and Medicare, or just Medicare, one of the two or both of the two. And then his staff said he wasn't really for it, and they called the charge a half-true. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's just, that. What kind of, speaking of journalism not doing its job, PolitiFact is part of that, I've mentioned that. And so I think you should be afraid, including Republicans, because you won't have much of a say if they have complete domination and they can do what their billionaires want to do. And they don't want to balance the budget. They want to give all the money back to the wealthiest among us. I mean, they'll run up huge budget deficits to do that, but they will not spend money or raise taxes on those people. Remember, Biden is for a billionaire's tax and has a budget that makes billionaires and corporations pay their fair share. They introduced recently. Remember, they don't want to do that. And they don't even want to tax them in order to make sure you have Medicare and Social Security. So people need to understand who they are and what they're capable of.
You know, Dr. Craig, so many of the things that the Republican Party supports is just nonsensical, and especially to the average everyday citizen, and damaging to the average everyday citizen. They just don't know, the average everyday citizen, what's at the root of it. As you stated, this has been a master plan that's been designed, you know, for 75, 100 years to give them an opportunity to control. It doesn't matter who you are. You talked about the wealthy amongst us, and especially those on the right side of things, the political right side of things, they could care less about the average everyday citizen. And yet the average everyday citizen is somehow believes that these are the people who are speaking for them, Dr. Craig. And, you know, you have to sometimes wonder if, because this stuff is complex, right? I mean, and people are dealing with their lives every day, trying to survive, and they really don't have time to delve into these kinds of things. And they vote for people who come to them and say, hey, I'm with you, I support you. But behind the scenes, Dr. Craig, is something altogether different.
They're willing to lie to you.
Yes.
I mean, why are we junking up the Constitution, the second question on the ballot, when we have to figure out and try to guess at what it even means? And of course, you know, we have judges, right-wing judges, that are amending the Constitution illegally all the time, illegally as far as the norms of the country. They're not supposed to have judges essentially creating whole new meanings based on their own modern political views. And so, I mean, people need to understand that part of the grift is to make you hate someone else and say, we're on your side, we're one of you, define your identity as on their side as they steal you blind.
So Dr. Craig, are the American people today more gullible than we were, say, in your and my parents, the great generation's time? I mean, you know, it just appears to me that this probably couldn't have happened 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Not like it's happening now.
There's a great political science book. I mean, it's an academic book, Princeton Press, Democracy for Realists, that looks at all the data as far back as data goes on voters. It actually doesn't show that voters were making wiser decisions back in the past, okay, or in other countries. In fact, in the Great Depression, if you look at all the countries, all the democracies, basically, whichever side was in power was punished. So actually, conservative governments were put in charge for a long time if liberals or progressives happened to be, or socialists happened to be in charge during the worst of the downturn. We just happened to have it where Hoover, a conservative Republican, was. And so what's changed is the willingness of the leaders of major parties and the corporate elite, etc., right, to do anything in order to get their way and to disregard the people. The reason that Republicanism wasn't this way in the 50s was General Eisenhower was a serious small D Democrat who actually believed in representing people. I have a lot of disagreements with what he believed in, but he was not capable of any of this, right, at all.
Right.
Now the leaders of this party, I mean, you talk about the de-evolution. You've seen like the Ascent of Man pictures where we become modern humans.
Right.
Well, the descent of Republicans from General Eisenhower to Donald Trump. And by the way, I would say that Reagan is a link on the way down. That was George W. Bush.
let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Earl. First off, I had Dr. Craig. You should be somehow labeling Donald Trump the grifter and not calling him by his name. Just call him the grifter because that's all he is. He grifts people. He takes the money away, and he's a grifter. That's number one. Number two, I do blame the Democratic Party for the fact that we have not spoken about who Franklin Delano Roosevelt was. We do not talk about FDR. We do not talk about the great social programs such as Social Security and Medicare and these programs. Who brought those to you? It wasn't the Republicans. It was the Democratic Party. And shame on the Democratic Party for not. I mean, I've heard Hakeem Jeffries say, you know, FDR brought us the New Deal. Brought us? Lyndon Johnson brought us, or someone brought us a square deal. And what Joe Biden brought us was a big deal. You know what? That is exactly correct. But the thing is, every Democratic person should be on the same page and saying, you know who brought you that Social Security that the Republicans want to privatize, profitize off of? That was a Democrat. And that's what they need to be doing. And they're not doing enough of that. And you know what? And it's true. The Republicans, since Newt Gingrich, who was probably the biggest traitor, as far as I'm concerned, in this country, ever since him, has been to demolish everything that FDR did. And I would recommend the audience go on YouTube and look up everything on FDR and look at all his old speeches. It might give us an insight in terms of where it is that we need to go as a country. Thank you so much.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You can join us. Join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. You know, it's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So Dr. Craig, more than 200 bills, and this is tell the Senate to pass the For the People's Act. More than 200 bills have been introduced in many states nationwide, taking away voting rights that now more than ever, the For the People's Act needs to be passed in the Senate. The bill, which passed in the House on March 3rd, is a comprehensive reform package that will help protect and expand access to voting. According to the Sierra Club, the For the People's Act will create a nationwide automatic voters registration system, allow same-day voter registration, and expand ways to vote, protecting our elections, strengthening ethic laws, combat the influence of dark money unleashed by Citizens United, ban partisan gerrymandering, and increase protections for communities of color. The For the People's Act is a powerful, powerful tool, Dr. Craig, that if everybody was aware of, made aware of, and we brought pressure on congressmen and senators, we should get passed. If you talk about democracy and freedom and rights, this, you know, this action can protect the process into perpetuity, right, for the People's Act.
So that can't have actually passed Mike Johnson or Kevin McCarthy's house. So this must be talking about the votes that were taken when Nancy Pelosi was still speaker in the first 2 years of Biden's presidency.
So what it's saying is it's time that we asked our senators to take immediate action to protect the vote.
I thought it said what you read that already passed the House. Well, that would have to have, maybe it was just unclear of when it did it. It couldn't have done it since Kevin McCarthy and Mike Johnson took control.
It said it had passed the House. Okay.
Because I think all those provisions passed the House and not the Senate in the first 2 years of the Biden administration. So absolutely, Republicans oppose all of that. They created Citizens United. They amended the Constitution through a right-wing Supreme Court to legalize what had not been legal and to create brand new rights no one had ever thought of, the unlimited right of corporations to communicate and speak, not something that was being considered in 1787 at all, I assure you. And so this is what Democrats need to do when they gain control. And we also need to ask ourselves, that's why it's important to win this election and to get majorities and to overcome the filibuster, because it will be filibustered. So the question if the Democrats can hold on to the Senate and take the House and President Biden is elected to a second term is, will Senate Democrats be willing to break the filibuster for this? Because this is a Jim Crow anachronism that makes sure a small percentage of completely red states can block anything that goes before the Senate.
But Dr. Craig, creating a nationwide automatic voter registration system, that's not solely just to benefit Democrats. I mean, how is it
possible? They're opposed to making it easier to vote. You're right. It shouldn't. All of you Republicans should be for this. and a lot of you are, but still vote on. Most people don't vote on democracy issues. In fact, 2022 is the first time in perhaps in American history, or at least modern American history, where the threat to democracy and 2018 and 2022 was actually part of what drove voter decisions in the midterm elections, but more people, and the polls don't measure, aren't capturing it, but it's clearly greater than they think. So this is the kind of thing, if you care about democracy, you should vote only for people who support something like the For the People
Act. So Dr. Craig, let's try to squeeze Bob in from Waukesha. Bob, quickly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am sick and tired of hearing people blame inflation on Joe Biden and the Democrats. I'm 77 years old. I remember when I was a kid, there was Heinz ketchup, there was General Mills. All these food corporations have bought out their competition, and it's not only the food, it's other businesses. They bought out the competition, they become big corporations, and they are price gouging. And the evidence is in their record profits. That's where the inflation is. It's the price gouging that the corporations are doing to this country. And don't you think they got it in their mind? If they make inflation bad enough, they will get rid of Joe Biden, because that's one of their goals.
Hey, Bob, I wish we had more time. Dr. Craig, quickly, you want to respond to Bob?
He's totally right. Inflation was driven by a global pandemic that Trump was completely flubbing and killing people in, and that President Biden resolved. And it's gone down faster than anyone imagined because of President Biden's policies. But the coin of the realm with elections is to try to blame the incumbent for whatever is bad. So they have a two-step. They have to say inflation's super high and it's the only thing you should think about in terms of your economic well-being, because their net people's net income has gone up, and then blame Biden for it. That is possible with a lot of voters, but it is completely nonsensical. The caller is completely right.
Dr. Craig, great information as always, man. The time goes by too fast. That's Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, every Wednesday on the Earl Ingram Show, 9 to 10 a.m. Tomorrow we'll be joined by In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar. And thank you all for making the show go, as always. Up next, Jane Mattinier on air with Greg Bach. See you guys later.